I just want to write something down here. I'm on. All right. I've been. Can you hear me? Okay, because I see Joel's face, and it kind of, yeah. But I'm supposed to see my face, and it when I see somebody else's, it kind of distracts me. Anyway, I've been writing down the way the translator translates my name when it is announced by somebody. All right. This morning, here are three things. Fred said John Corners. All right. Ray said John Curian. I don't know how that got there. And you, Joel, just said John Decorn. So that's on French, Decorn. Anyway, over the months, it's been interesting. And I find it kind of amusing. So turn this morning, would you please, to Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, okay. My wife says, go ahead, even though I can't see much here. My eyes are dry this morning, people. They're really dry. I'm having a hard time. I've been putting drops in them. And when they're dry like this, sometimes it's hard for me to read. It gets blurry. Right now they're blurry. But Hebrews chapter 10. A few weeks ago, Fred spoke from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and onward. And he mentioned how interesting it is to get into these chapters, chapter 10, 11, 12, and so on. Now, I've been fascinated by these. What Fred spoke about, I'm not going to speak about, but Fred gave what is known as the salad bowl sermon. Five different courses of lettuce. All right. That isn't funny, I know. Okay. Anyway, five different courses of lettuce. Can you hear me all? Okay. Now I got some smiles. Okay. And what I'd like to do is connect some things in this book of Hebrews. As a young believer, when I started studying Hebrews, I had a difficult time because, of course, I wanted to know some of these things that said about Jesus Christ. I looked up the cross references and I studied these cross references. And I had a delightful time. When I got to chapter 10, and it was noticeable that there was a change. Fred talked about the practical aspect of it. And over the years, I began to realize I saw something in the book of Hebrews, I think, that really helped me. What I would like to do just briefly, and I don't want to distract y'all, but in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, the writer of Hebrews opens up with some subject, something, an admonition. And I began to see that that admonition follows through the whole book. And in fact, it follows through to Hebrews chapter 12. And it's an interesting admonition because there are two problems. You know, chapter 6 is a real problem. And chapter 10 is a real problem. And it's been, they have been talked about and they have been explained. And momento. And just, okay, my wife's having a hard time here. They've been explained and they're hard. Many, many Bible writers and people who write commentaries have simply said it's hard to understand exactly what's going on. But I want to show you that I think what the author's real purpose is, not just to talk about the perfection of Jesus Christ. That is what he's writing about. But what he's writing about also is the fact that there are some people who are having a hard time with it, who at one time did not have a hard time. So For example, chapter 2, verse 1. All right. Therefore, must we give more. Wow. I can hardly see here. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. This drifting away is something that seems to come up at other occasions. And let's look at a couple of them. In chapter 2, verse 3, please. First 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now that comes out in Romans, Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10. There's more here. Go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. All right. And he says in Hebrews 3, verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And I began to see over a period of time that there's some connection here. Something is on his mind. Hebrews 3:12, please. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. There's a problem that is going on. And one reason he writes the book is he's trying to help them see some people are having a difficult time following the Lord. It's possible that some even went back, all right, and walked away from the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 11, all right? There's more. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Now, here's another same thought. The fall of disobedience. There are things going on, and I think he's letting us understand that. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, please. 6:1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works or faith toward God. For the doctrine of baptism, laying of hands, right? Now, on the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment, this we would do if God permit. Now, notice verse 6 of 6. All right. Oh, pardon me, go back to verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good work of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again themselves, the Lord Jesus. You see, there's something about people falling away, people becoming hardened from the beginning. And I have this sense that when he was talking about the person of Jesus Christ, he's trying to refresh them and show them the completeness of the work of Jesus Christ and remind them of what he was doing. Now, go to chapter 10. And as Fred mentioned, chapter 10:19 is opening new thoughts. It's as if the writer of Hebrews, after having talked about Jesus Christ, he ends in verse 18 and 17, their sins and lawless deeds are remembered no more, verse 18 of 10. Now, where there's remission of sin, there's no longer an offering for sin. Sins of remission, there need to be no other. It appears as if some people are caught up in wanting to go back to some things and cling to them. Maybe we call them the Judaizers. We might call them people who want to hang on to certain things. But what's happening is there seems to be a number of people who once were converted, so to speak, and these people started drifting back. And it appears to me that as they started drifting back, they were going back. They were going back to hang on to some things from the old. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, if you go back and you go back and hang on to that, there's no remission for sin. In other words, go back to the old and hang on to the old and incorporate it in your old life and your Christian life, you can't be saved. You know you can't be saved by going by those things. You know very well. And if you go back, there's no remission. Jesus Christ is saved. But if you believe in Jesus Christ or renew yourself or understand your confusion, certainly there's remission of sins. But so I want to go over that. And apparently these people's lives have cooled off. He will say in chapter 10 pretty clearly that their lives have cooled off. And I'll show you that in a few minutes. And they're not as joyful. They're not as dedicated. They're not as enthusiastic as before. There's something that's taken place. And in chapter 10, verse 32, and this is it, a key verse I want to focus on, right? But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle of suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches, tribulation, partly while you became companions of those who were scattered. For you had compassion on those in chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession of yourselves in heaven. Therefore, now notice how he says this. Notice how he says this in the next verse. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. From chapter 2, verse 1, there's been a problem. They seem to be casting away things. They seem to be neglecting some belief. They have forgotten what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them by faith. And I think that's why you have chapter 11. Because the writer, when he writes chapter 11 on faith, is merely saying the patriarchs, the people we hold dear to us, the people we hold part of God's program for us, these people by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Abel, by faith Moses. Faith is the issue. So what I'm saying or trying to say is it appears that someone was beginning to question who Jesus Christ was and his work on the cross. And so chapter 10:32 is an important one. So it seems like things are getting more difficult. At one time, you were excited to do things. See, these five led us. There was a time when they were really thrilled, and now they have to do it again. They have to go back and understand. So they recall the days of fervent faith, chapter 10, verse 32. Knowing Christ was joy. He was everything, right? They were excited to do something. They took ridicule with a sense of dignity. They saw trials as a privilege and as a sign of God's favor, willing to help others, go out of their way to even help those who are captive, who are needy. He became friends with others, even if identification with the others meant some suffering for them. And so they seem to have a purpose, but now they seem to have lost something, the losing of something. Why did they lose that? And this is hard. I speak on February 21st, and I'm going to be, you know, they say fools rush in. I'm going to speak on chapters 6 and 10 and try to put them together and show a few things. Because I think Hebrews is calling some people to come back, to put aside those things. Don't you know? Don't you know that Christ fulfilled all those? When we worked among people in Colombia, and of course, very strict Catholics, and we brought the gospel, and it was really great joy among them. And I remember when they read Hebrews the first time, just as a fact, they may not have understood where these verses came from. We had to show them the cross references and teach them. But they understood this. They really understood. The priesthood could not draw us close to God. Confessing our sins, and we confess again and again, and the Holy Communion and how it was. When I was a Catholic boy, I wanted to become an altar boy. In those days, you had to memorize Latin. And anyway, but there were a couple of times when you were trying to break me in or break me one way or the other, when I was able to go beyond the railing and I was able to be up there with the priest. It was quite a feeling. I am beyond the railing. Going beyond the railing is something special. God's at the altar, and being an altar boy and serving the priest really made it feel special. And it gave me a sense that I was closer to God. Well, that didn't last very long, but the Colombians really understood the essence of Hebrews. They knew about these things, the thing told about Jesus Christ, that he is superior, he's above all. But what happened is some of them had relatives, friends, moms or dads, and the local priest, who was a pretty strong man. We met him several times, and he wasn't a happy camper that we were in Mount. But the point is, there was pressure on these people. Look, this is our tradition. This is what we've done. And then there were threats. The threats were such like, if you keep going with those people, we're not going to pay for your high school. High school is not free in Colombia. We're not going to pay for your high school. We're not going to pay for this. We're not going to send you to Bucaramanga, to that special school. Now, if you keep doing that, you're not going to, we're not going to help. So some of these people didn't come. And we'd meet them on the streets. And some of these people said right to our faces, look at hermanos, I understand that. And I believe what you say. There's too much involved if I stay with you. I have to go back. And so they did. Now, one of our men, a man by the name of Atanasio, worked for the city. He was lucky to have a job. There were hardly any jobs in Malaga. So he had a job in the city. He walked around the plaza with a wheelbarrow, a broom, and a shovel, picking up garbage. And one day, the mayor came to him. The mayor said, if you keep going to those people, you're going to lose your job. Now, Atanasio was really dirt poor. You're going to lose your job. And so Atanasio didn't come. And he didn't come. And we weren't condemning him to anathema or anything. We were just praying for him, but not knowing what was going on. And one day, after about 6 months, Atanasio walked in with the Bible under his arm. And he said to us, I'm coming back. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm coming back. And you know what happened? They didn't fire. They didn't fire. And they knew he was back. I think there's something like this going on in this book, people. I really do. Go to the book of Acts. Go to Corinth. And it talked about some of these people who went to the synagogue and then they moved over to the house that was next door to the synagogue. And a brother by the name of Sothenes, who was the guy who the caretaker of the synagogue. And he went to that assembly next door. He was taken and beaten. They dragged him out and beat him. And there are other things. I just give this as an idea. So something is happening. He's saying they started out well, but things weren't going right. So other people's hurts didn't concern them anymore. There was a time when people's hurts concerned them, verse 32 and 33. Now it didn't concern them anymore. I don't care about these people. I'm not going to devote time to these people. See, as he's asking us earlier in this to stir up and consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of yourself together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The thing he seems to be saying is you lose your love and care for others when you lose your focus on Jesus Christ. And so, to make a long story short, I'm just giving you some thoughts, because I really think that this goes all the way through the book, this whole idea. And so he says in verse 32, recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured. Now, there's another thing I've mentioned before, and I see that word endured in chapters 10 and 12 and 1 and 11, that word endured is the idea, is that, not that they were going through trials and said, I'm going to endure my pain. The idea is that they had to be able to apply to their lives the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when people try to distract them, to threaten them, to beat them, read Acts. Some of these Jews had a hard time after they became a believer. Anyway, and people tried to threaten them and beat them. They had to endure knowing Jesus Christ is my Savior in this world. It's not always an easy thing. It's not always easy to do. Some things come up and it rattles us. They need to see what Christ has done. Everything mentioned in these first 10 chapters, see what Christ has done and understand that every one of those things is practical. It's just not for our devotional thinking. It's practical. It means something in our lives. And so the writer of Hebrews is trying to call some of these people back. Who they were, I'll talk about it in a couple weeks, but it's tough. But he's calling them back. Don't you see what's taking place? And there are many people in Columbia. I've run into many along the way. Because you're out there and you're witnessing and you're in Catholic country. Many of you say, oh, I used to go to that evangelical meeting. Say, I went there and I don't know. I went there for a while. And so they walked away. And I think maybe the writer of Hebrews is saying, when you go back to that, you go back and cling to that, there's no more sacrifice for sin. You're going back on Jesus Christ. There's only one sacrifice for sin in the world, the person of Jesus Christ. You either go to him and accept him, or you go back to all the ritualism and you're back where you were before. No salvation. So anyway, and in chapter 11, I won't go into that, but chapter 11, of course, is important because as he goes through chapter 11, he's telling the people, writing to the people, that all these people, two things, they believed and they endured. Every one of these people endured. See, they endured in a way of Noah. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. What? There's no lake here. No, I'm building an ark. Well, why? God told me to. Man, you've lost your mind, buddy. You've lost your mind. No, God told me to. He's building an ark. I'm just reading between the lines, but people are walking by and laughing. Come on, man. No. And I think this is part of the idea, faith. And you'll see as you read through this, look how Abraham endured. There were times where God said nothing to him. And then God said something very specific, and he had lived by that. Jesus is our Savior. All right, so chapter 11 is a good chapter, and the purpose of chapter 11 is just all the people believed before the law, before the circumcision, all of it. Faith was a principle. And so faith is a principle, and it is still a principle. It was always the principle, not legalism or law. All right. So back to some places in chapter 10. All right. Now in chapter 10, verse 19, there's the word therefore. I know this has been pointed out before, but when you see the word therefore in Hebrew, pause, because the word is all through Hebrew. It's all over the place. And when you see it, pause. Therefore, what? Therefore. He's making an application, telling about what he said, just wrote about, and what it means. Okay, not just writing an update on theology of the Old Testament. He is writing things that affect our lives, deeply touch our lives. Right? So the word therefore is very, now you see the word therefore in chapter 10, 19 looks backward, doesn't it? Looks back. Everything he talked about. He talked about the superiority of Christ as a person and his work, and he's talked about the fact that some are having a hard time. Some are going back. Some are hardening their hearts. And so this is important. Doctrine is practice. And what we need to do then when we get to chapter 10, 19, is understand that he's taking this whole package and he's applying it. But he's bringing back again into chapter 10 what he started saying in chapter 2:1. And so he sees a problem in 2:1, and in chapter 10 he says, now here is the answer. Lest you fall away, lest you go back. This is the answer, to keep your head right and sound. All right, so there in chapter 10, 23, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from evil conscience, and dead body, bodies washed with water. But see verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Hope is in Jesus Christ. And our hope. And this is important. Let us hold our hope. And he goes on, he talks not only of hope, he's going to talk about love and faith. But see, they're doing it the right way is in verse 10:23, holding the confession of our hope. but you have to endure through difficulties. Right? Now, verse 26 tells us the wrong way. All right. Verse 23 tells us the right way. Verse 26, let's read it. For if we sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, right, which will devour the adversary. Anyone who has rejected Moses goes back and says, they rejected what Moses said, they perished in the wilderness. They reject this, they didn't end their life. But the wrong way then is to go back to a system that could not save. That's the wrong way. Back to a system that could not save and therefore be under God's judgment. Now again, I don't know what they were doing. I wish we knew more. But this is important. So, as I mentioned before, he spoke of slipping away. He spoke in chapter 3 of hardening their hearts. He spoke of in chapter 6 falling away. He spoke in chapter 10, 26 of willful sin. You put all this together and you try to think. So always bear in mind the historical background. When you read the book of Acts, you know very well some of the Jews were really, really punished. And there is little doubt to me that some went back. I lived in a Catholic country, and I ran into a number of people. I used to go there. Oh, I made one of those decisions. Well, I was, and nah. So that happened to people. Now, 10:32, as I said, they chose the right way. The right way, he says in 10:32, recall the former days. People, this is something we have to do. and it's really good for us to recall the former days. I've lost something. I don't have the enthusiasm I had before. I used to find it exciting, and now I'm not. I used to go out of my way to do things. I don't know. I can hardly get up the gumption to do something for VBS or something like that. So verse 32, recall the days after you were illuminated. You endured a great struggle of faith. The clear knowledge of Jesus Christ gives us strength to serve and understanding to serve. So he says that, and in verse 35, let's look at that. Verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. You want a reward and you'll be blessed. If you cast it away, you won't be blessed. Just like that, you'll struggle. Now, or if the hope of heaven. This is written about a time when things are getting not only bad in the church, but the Roman Empire. And maybe some of us are going to die. Some of us this. I'm going to die simply because I changed my religion. That's crazy, see, people talk. So don't cast away your confidence, which is a great reward. Verse 36. For you have need of endurance. So when you read this word endurance, think about it this way. You've given up too quickly because your faith that would make you endure, make you stronger, you've given up too quickly. And what you need is endurance. You need to be able to stand strong, understand the faith, understand what comes. And there are times when we're really richly blessed, and there are times when we're not. So this is important, right? Endurance. so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. See? And he talked in verse 35 of the reward. What's the promise? Oh, man, eternal life. Being with the Lord Jesus Christ. Enjoying eternity with our precious Savior. Or be rewarded here in this world for doing that and finally seeing what you really want to accomplish for Christ is fulfilled. You can think about it. You can think about it either way. So, in verse 35, I mentioned, he talks about cast away your confidence. The word confidence in the Greek, here's what it means. It means freedom in speaking. Unreservedness in speech. Free, fearless, confident, cheerful courage, boldness, assurance. And this is taken from Kenneth Wiest's Greek for an English speaker, and it's good. Wiest is really good. So there's a definition. And so maybe what the writer is saying is this. Don't throw away your cheerful courage. Don't throw away that boldness, that free and fearless confidence, which they had been displaying in the beginning, right? Verse 32. Don't throw it away. Don't push it aside. Don't be saying, I don't know. I'm not getting out of it. And it just seems to be, you know, going to church and all this. And the writer of Hebrews, whoever he may be, and whatever some of his purposes were that we don't know, it's simply telling these people, hang on and confident. Jesus Christ is your Savior, and he will do the work in life. So, and he tells them, verse 36, what he thinks the problem is. They aren't enduring. They in the beginning were, but they started to back off. And you've lost something by backing off and not trusting the Lord, how he helps you to grow and understand. And so verse 36, it's an encouragement to them to persevere. 10:23 talks about doing without wavering. And then he says here they need endurance. Chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. They need to run the race with endurance. Right. And so this author sees a problem. Some people are actually going back. I am not going to say apostatizing or falling. They're just going back. Maybe they see it would be easier in the Catholic Church for a guy like Atanasio in a small town like Malaga. He works for the city. The mayor knows, the priest knows. In fact, we found out it was the priest who went to the mayor. And told the mayor, yeah. And actually he said something to the mayor about getting the last rites. Ooh. So the mayor, wow, say, if I don't fire this guy, I'm not going to get the last rites. And the women found that out. Senora Socorro and Martin's wife, they picked it up in the gossip chain around my house. And the priest had said that. So, there are a lot of different things that took place. So the centerpiece of this is that it's of utmost importance that they endure. So let me review quickly and then I'll be done. Chapter 2:1, he starts the idea. He repeats it several times through to chapter 10. So I'm thinking, when he sits down to write, he has something more in mind than just to review Old Testament typology, which is absolutely essential and blessed. He is trying to show them that it is done. They don't need it. They only need Jesus Christ. And I believe it's Malaga, after they discovered Hebrews. And we talked to them. See, we used to go up on Friday nights and spend Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, drive back on Monday. And during that time, we would go through subjects. We would answer their questions Friday night. They had questions, things they read while we were gone. And sometimes the study we gave during the weekend was something they had all been reading and talking about. And in one case, Hebrews. So we went and talked about Hebrews, showed them how to go back, study it. But as I said before, they understood. They may not have understood how it worked in the Old Testament, but they understood this. That Jesus Christ has completed everything. They only need him. They only need to trust him. And that was an eye-opener. Not only that, but I remember some of them saying to me, this is incredible. I really didn't need all of that. And Martin, who I've talked about many times, told me one day we were walking, he said this to me, and my heart, it makes me angry. I'm 38 years old, and nobody ever told me. Nobody ever. He was angry. And and I can understand all that time living there and not understand the simple truth of salvation by faith. All right, so let me look at a few things here. And the people then were to move forward. They were not to give up what they had learned. And they had been made a spectacle of men, reproach, verse 33. So I'm going to wrap this up now. Well, it's snowy. We got to drive home. It's a rough day. You know, I was thinking, there was a snow emergency in Wauwatosa this morning, right? So nobody's at the chapel. Now, maybe we can use Zoom in another snow emergency. Snow emergency, we can let the people know, let's all hook up a Zoom. And one of the benefits of that is we can take attendance. And we can take attendance a little bit and see who. So, and I'm out of gas here, people. And I hope you follow what I'm saying. And when I speak in a couple weeks, I want to bring up more because there's something on this man's mind. There's a theme running through the whole book. And there are people who were doing well who are not. And in this case, he talks about endurance. Talks about going back. And I'll try to talk about that next time without getting too mixed up. All right, so their lives are to be joyful, so on, and their lives are to be living by faith and confidence. So let's thank the Lord, okay? And have a good day with no football. All right. Thank you, Father, for your word. Around the world are religions that are hard, that are against Christianity. And when people understand the simple gospel, the simple message, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they understand that all the ritualism doesn't really mean anything other than something culturally. Help these people, be it in the Catholic countries such as Malaga or Muslim, who sometimes go back because people threaten them or argue with them, who go back because they really never made a decision. They never really had the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. But they went to meetings and listened. and help us, Father, to learn to endure. Look at the lives of faith in chapter 11. We look at what these people had to go through. Abraham waiting, Moses in the wilderness, Moses all those years waiting for messages from you, those moments when you spoke to him, other people. And these people all died in faith. And we do ask you to help us to be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for your mercy and grace. Amen.